This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The second hour of the program here. Phones are open if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian and Aria and Mark joining you here tonight. If you want to help out the Crypto 6 case, I am the last one to be facing sentencing, and we are still accepting letters to the judge. You can go to letters.freetalklive.com to get an address there and some tips, some suggestions on how you might want to structure a letter. It's something that might have an effect. It's hard to be particularly optimistic considering that Aria ended up with 18 months. I was hoping that you would get time served and, you know, some probation. So the idea that he's going to go less on me than he did you seems pretty ridiculous. But, yeah, it still doesn't
hurt.
Not
impossible.
It doesn't hurt to ask. It doesn't hurt to...
I mean, there are more reasons, like, that you're more engaged in public service and the radio show and things like that than, I don't know.
But I also have a criminal record and...
for civil disobedience.
Still, they don't care about that. You know, it's so okay. He violated the law, therefore bad. But if you want to help me out, if I've done something of value to you in your life, then please, you can go to letters.freetalklive.com and you can write a letter to the judge in the Crypto 6 case. As we continue here, we've been talking about the SEC and its continuing attacks against the cryptocurrency industry, which is part of a larger federal government-wide attack against the cryptocurrency industry. The Crypto 6, Aria, me, Nobody, and three of our other friends who were arrested in 2021 over what they call peer-to-peer sales. So there's like the FBI, quote-unquote, Justice Department ongoing attacks against peer-to-peer sellers. We're not the only ones. We're...
Right.
Six in a long line of peer-to-peer people that have been attacked. And then, of course, the SEC going after these companies, the exchanges, the developers. You've got the CFTC now bringing a lawsuit against Binance. And then today, the SEC announced, I guess they filed it. They already announced they were going to attack Coinbase a couple of months ago. And then the case has been now filed, apparently, against Coinbase. According to Reuters, the largest U.S. cryptocurrency platform has been accused of operating illegally because it failed to register as an exchange, which, of course, there's no way to do.
That's all they... They're being charged with not registering? That was my charge.
I suspect it's more than that here. The lawsuit is the SEC's second in 2 days, as we discussed in the first hour.
They have got to chill out. It could not possibly be clearer that they're trying to strangle the cryptocurrency industry. I don't know why Congress and, you know, the president aren't using whatever means are at their disposal to rein this stuff in until they can get a handle on it.
Well, presumably they're doing
crazy.
It at their behest.
But maybe he was also brought in recently and, like, grilled by some of the members of Congress. Like,
that's just a show.
This seems to be completely out of control, though. It's like this guy's just going crazy and suing everything and everyone.
He's doing it at somebody's behest. Somebody's told him to, right? Like this.
We live in a world where it's very, it's very executive heavy. And this is what the founders were concerned with. They had just come from an executive-heavy system where they had a king and that sort of thing. And, you know, Jefferson's saying that, you know, that power tends to concentrate. And this is true within government, too, right? It's a lot easier for the executive, the one who wields the sword, to have power rather than the legislative branch. The legislative branch has never, to my knowledge, made one law about cryptocurrency.
Never.
They haven't said a thing about cryptocurrency. Yep. There is no guidance from the people, the representatives of the people, on cryptocurrency. This is just the guy with the sword, or a whole bunch of guys with swords, running amok, enforcing laws from 100 years ago and calling it justice.
Yep, that's literally what's going on. It's absolutely outrageous. And unfortunately, there's no defense against this, because it's like, how do you apply these rules when you have no idea how they apply, when Coinbase has pointed out, and I am not a Coinbase fan.
No, okay? I hate Coinbase.
I'm not a Binance fan either. I don't care for any of these centralized exchanges, but I'm still on their side on this because the government's even worse. But the problem, of course, with Coinbase is from the beginning they've been trying to be the government's bed buddy. They've been trying to cozy up to them and say, oh, just tell us what to do. We're here to help. We just want to do it.
They literally wanted to write the regulations.
And they did.
They made this clear. They wanted to form this sort of cartel with themselves and Kraken and some other major exchanges so they could write out the rules. They wanted to call it a white book or something like that.
No. You're talking about the White Hat group or whatever. That was years ago. That was before Kraken even existed. That was
Coinbase was behind it still.
They were.
And what they wanted to do... That's just one example in a long line of things they've done, where they've made it clear that they want to use the government as a weapon to keep themselves from having competition.
Yeah, they've complained in their statements, and I haven't read the full statement they released, but I've read their previous ones about this, and that they'd gone to the SEC, they'd asked for the guidance, they'd asked for the rules, what do we got to do, tell us what to do, and there was no answer from the SEC. But yet, whenever the SEC goes after one of these companies, they always issue a statement saying, hey, look, all you got to do is come in and talk to us. We'll take care of it. And that's not possible. And it's not just Coinbase who's said this.
The SEC refused to meet with Coinbase last year when Coinbase sent some representatives to Washington. Yep. Everyone but the SEC met with them.
As antithetical as it is to libertarian ideas, I think that the case of places like Coinbase and Binance is stronger than it is for, say, folks like you and Aria, where you guys are like, we have rights, we were born with them, and we will operate as though that is true. We have the right to buy things and sell things, and we will operate within our rights. Whereas these people went hat in hand and said, hey, we just want to know what to do. I know you don't have any rules, so we'll write the rules for you. Mm-hmm. And still the SEC says that they violated the rules somehow. There are no rules to violate.
Yeah, that they're literally trying to shoehorn cryptocurrency into, like you said, 90-plus-year-old rules here. So the civil case...
And even if they're not using that one for the criminal rulings, right, they're using the anti-money laundering thing that was written after 9/11, mm-hmm. Which is from 2001, 22-year-old. The most recent regulation they have that they're applying to cryptocurrency is more than 20 years old.
Yep.
That's insane.
The
iPhone wasn't even invented then.
That's right.
That's how far back we're talking about.
The cases are an attack against the industry, which Gensler has labeled the Wild West today, and has undermined investor trust in U.S. capital markets, he claimed. Quote, the whole business model is built on a non-compliance with the U.S. securities laws, and we're asking them to come into compliance. There's that word again.
Compliant?
Asking. When I ask you to do something for me, Aria, it doesn't come with a suggestion that I'm going to point a gun at you if you say no. If I ask to come in and substitute for me on a Thursday night or something like that, it doesn't mean that I'm going to kidnap your dog if you say no. It's just an ask.
Right.
The government loves to use these terms, and a lot of the times the media uses the term, even when the government's never asking for anything, they're threatening.
Lapdog.
The lapdog media, absolutely. They're not asking, okay? When they take you to court and they're trying to bankrupt you and trying to make you pay millions of dollars to do what they quote-unquote ask, that's proof that they're not just asking, they're telling. Yeah. They're demanding, and they're threatening you. And if you don't do what they say, they may put you in a prison cell.
Well, it's the difference between a leader and a ruler, right? Where they're pretending like they're leaders, like they're not violent rulers who are looking to, you know, use violence against people.
No, but a leader sets an example.
Are. Right.
A leader shows the way, and then people follow voluntarily. That's not what's going on here.
No, and that will never be what goes on with the government, because the government doesn't have to lead. They don't have to provide a good reason. They don't have to provide justification. They don't have to lead by example, because they have the guns pointed at our heads saying, obey or we'll hurt you. You don't need to be a good person. You don't need to be an example when you have violence upon which you can rely.
Crypto companies say the SEC's rules are unclear and the agency is overreaching and trying to regulate them. Coinbase suffered about $1.28 billion in customer outflows following the lawsuit, according to initial estimates from a data firm called Nansen. So I guess they're watching their Coinbase wallets and seeing how much is going out. Paul Grewal, the general counsel for Coinbase, in a statement said the company will continue operating as usual and has, quote, demonstrated commitment to compliance, unquote. 10 U.S. states also accused Coinbase of securities law violations concerning its staking rewards program, which is what we thought that the SEC was going to go after. In its complaint filed in Manhattan federal court, the SEC said Coinbase has since, at least 2019, made billions of dollars by operating as a middleman on crypto transactions while evading disclosure requirements meant to protect investors.
What are those disclosure requirements?
God knows.
The staking thing is fascinating to me because, like, that's almost brilliant if you can get away with it as a cryptocurrency exchange. Hey, buy your crypto from us, and then it's like a proof-of-stake coin, like Blackcoin or whatever.
Right.
And then you just hold these customers' funds for them because you're a centralized exchange, but you don't just hold them. You stake them as well. So
correct.
You're literally making, you know, interest effectively off of your customers' money.
Yep, and you give them a cut and you keep a cut for the exchange.
And this all seems completely fine to me. I don't have an issue with it, but it's absolutely brilliant. There was a very brief period in my life where I staked Blackcoin. I ended up not doing it because my internet, I lived in Mississippi, so my internet wasn't as reliable as it should have been for, you know, staking cryptocurrency. But the idea is that you have this cryptocurrency that you're not using, and you use it to secure the network by staking it. It's not important what that means on a technical level, but it's like you're putting up your money out there, and that lets people know that, hey, this money exists, it's usable, it's stable, and it's backed up by this money that Aria or the listener, whoever, put out there. And for doing that, you'll receive like one black coin a year or one coin, whatever it is.
3%, 10%, 6%,
whatever. It's almost literally free money, except you can't use it, so there is a cost, and that it's not liquid, it's tied up in this one thing. But it's a really good method of securing a blockchain network, as far as I can tell.
Well, the SEC is now calling that a security.
Yeah,
that's
insane.
Why they went after Kraken.
Well, everything's a security to them.
That's right. Even Binance USD, which is a stablecoin, they're saying is a security.
But you can't make money off of a stablecoin.
I know.
Right. A stablecoin should be, in theory, backed $1 for $1.
That's right.
So there's no way to make money on it. You're just putting a dollar up, and then somebody would then come and claim that dollar in the future.
I don't know what their argument is. Maybe the argument is that, well, in theory...
You've got the guns.
Well, that is obviously it. But maybe in theory, if Binance was being dishonest and not actually backing the Binance USD with actual dollars or dollar equivalents...
Well, that would just make them like a bank.
Then it could go down in value, and therefore customers could lose their value. So, security! But it's just absolutely ridiculous. They're saying that the Coinbase exchange traded at least 13 crypto assets that the SEC considers to be securities, and that should have been registered, including Solana, Cardano, and Polygon.
They also mentioned Dash on that list.
Yeah, it was a long list.
Because they're throwing darts at a dartboard with random cryptocurrencies labeled on it. So, yep, that one's...
It's whatever they want.
Yeah, that's the only justification I can see for this, is they're just drawing cryptocurrency names out of a hat and saying, this one's a security, that one's a security.
Founded in 2012, Coinbase recently served more than 108 million customers and ended March with 130 billion of customer crypto assets and funds on its balance sheet. So it is a big business. In the staking rewards program, which has about 3.5 million customers, Coinbase pools crypto assets and uses them to support activity on the blockchain and then provides rewards. The SEC lawsuit seeks civil fines. And so they're bringing up the staking rewards program, but they didn't say specifically here that the lawsuit is targeting it. I presume that means that the lawsuit is targeting the staking program, but I have not actually...
Right.
I think it's a very poorly written article here because it's not clear the allegations that the SEC is making. But
well,
give chat GPT or whatever a little while to get better at these things, Ian.
Oh, you're suggesting they had ChatGPT write the article?
Oh, they don't employ... no one's hired a journalist in a year.
No, it's all freelance.
You simply can't ignore the rules because you don't like them, said the SEC Enforcement Chief Gurbir Grewal.
We don't know the rules, man. Right. Coinbase has been clear about this. If you tell them the rules, they will obey them. But you won't tell them the rules. You just say, ah, you broke them, and there's a secret list of rules that you have hidden in your back office that you're accusing people of breaking, and the courts, for whatever godless reason, are going along with this.
Yeah, I wish I had a better breakdown of what the suit is actually alleging. Maybe we can find that later. But this Gary Gensler appeared apparently on CNBC recently, a story from blockworks.co.
The fact that any media organization allows government employees on to explain themselves is just absolutely disgusting. Your job is to hold these people accountable, not give them a microphone.
Yeah, well, that's the way it was supposed to be, but it didn't turn out that way. It turns out that media companies, large and small, will always try to curry favor with government agencies because they won't talk to them otherwise. And they feel like this even happens with like just a local talk station where they'll have the police chief will come in for an hour on Fridays or once a month or something like that. And it's like, or ask the mayor, you know, that kind of thing. And if they don't kowtow to those people, if they don't give them softball questions, then they won't get the mayor back.
You don't need the mayor then, do you?
I agree.
Instead, make an issue about the fact that the mayor won't come on the show unless he only has softball questions. What is this guy hiding? What is he scared of if he won't talk to the press unless he's agreed in advance what they will ask?
I don't disagree with what you guys are saying. I mean, what you're saying is correct. There is another aspect to it. That other aspect is that everything's so red team, blue team out there that if you, as a journalist, try to hold a seated politician's feet to the fire, then you are a brain-numbed libtard or a conservative droid or whatever the hell these terminologies are that they say to people that are intended to stop conversation and hold people responsible. Right now, it's you see DeSantis and Trump going back and forth, and whatever you've got to say about the two candidates, DeSantis is undeniably a more conservative candidate than Trump is. But the Trumpers are acting like...
Yeah, this is all easy to fix, right? I mean, yes, if you're a media organization and you criticize Trump, people will call you a libtard or whatever. But the solution to this is really easy, and it's to end our obsession with social media. That sort of nonsense, it only really came about with the rise of social media, and it only happens on social media. I've never seen in person someone else call someone else a libtard because they didn't like Donald Trump. I've only ever seen that sort of toxic behavior on social media.
I guess I've seen some in emails, but I get your point. But again, I like to have solutions for people that I can implement myself in my own life. And all I can do is kind of get off social media or stick on Free Talk Live's social media or use social media that has some higher level of responsibility than others. You know, whatever my choice is at any given moment, that's all I can do. People are going to do what they do, and my presence doesn't appear. Here, I mean, I've been off of Facebook for a full year.
Congrats.
And no one, I don't mean I have been since 365 days ago, but I have taken a full year break from Facebook before, and no one said, hey, welcome back, Mark. You know, no one noticed my absence, therefore my absence would have had no quantifiable effect.
Maybe not. It depends on how you're trying to measure it. But, like, Facebook is very much on the decline. Its user base is on the decline. Its usage is on the decline. The company as a whole is on the decline.
Good riddance.
So you not using it does contribute to that.
I see the same thing happening on Instagram. Basically, people want to turn it into Facebook. They want to make... But the users want to be able to argue about politics.
Oh, God.
They want to do that. Jeez. And it's not as good of a system for that.
No.
It's not as good of a platform for it. But that's still what they want.
That's all social media is.
That's annoying.
It's people arguing with one another. It's toxic. It's horrible. I've pretty much completely stopped scrolling social media at all.
Wow.
And my life has never been better, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I try to pay some attention to these things that are happening. happening, just in case they could affect me. But all of the crap about people fighting over trans people or fighting over DeSantis or Trump or, you know, calling everyone groomers and just all the drama, it's been completely removed from my life.
Nice.
And that could be the case for everyone if you just stopped scrolling Twitter and Facebook and started, you know, interacting with people directly.
Or read a book or something like that.
I've also been doing a lot more reading lately.
So I did, by the way, I found the actual press release here from the SEC regarding Coinbase. And yes, the article did not mention it, but it's right here. Coinbase is, quote, charged with operating as an unregistered securities exchange, broker, and clearing agency, and also charged for the unregistered offer and sale of securities in connection with its staking as a service program. So, yes, they did go after Coinbase staking, which is what we predicted that they were going to do after they went after Kraken for it. And the difference between the two is Kraken said, all right, here's $30 million. We'll shut it down for U.S. users. You win. Here you go. See ya.
That's the stakes that these people are playing at, where they're like, $30 million, fine, cut the check, cost of doing business.
They didn't want, Kraken said, and Kraken is, you know, of the U.S.-based exchanges, they seem to be the most libertarian, and by that I mean the guy that runs the place is an unabashed libertarian.
Oh, he is, and he says some hardcore stuff.
He does. I got to give him credit. I mean, they still follow all the stupid rules. They still jump through all the dumb government hoops, but that's what they got to do to not have the FBI raid their offices.
It's like Elon Musk said about Twitter and the request that, you know, they get for government censorship or whatever. It's like, what do you want us to do, guys? We either shut down or we comply.
Yeah, or they murder you and shoot your dog. So, you know, in this case, we knew that was going to happen. But what Kraken essentially said was, look, we don't know how much this is going to cost us if we go to court, but there's a good chance it's going to be more than $30 million. So here you go. And they just walked away from it, and they shut down their staking as a service program. Coinbase made a comment at that time, and they said, well, at Coinbase, we do staking differently. Our staking service is special. And we will vigorously defend. And so good for them. I mean, I'm glad to see that they're going to fight it out.
I mean, this is sort of what happens when you get libertarians who want to play ball with the system because they care more about money than they do about principles.
Mm-hmm.
And that system ultimately turns against them. Where some part of them is like, no, we have to fight this. Right? That's ingrained in them. Even though they wanted to exploit the system and use it for their own benefit, these guys, they still were at one point libertarians.
The Coinbase people? I don't know.
I thought they were.
That.
Brian Armstrong?
Is he? I have no
idea. I thought he was.
Is he?
Well, I think that it depends on what you guys call libertarian. But Brian Armstrong is a libertarian. I don't think he is necessarily a voluntarist or an anarcho-capitalist or whatever terminology one wishes to use.
But he sold out and decided he wanted to exploit the system for his own benefit, for the benefit of his company. And I would say that's immoral, but it didn't necessarily stop him from being a libertarian. And now that libertarian core of resisting and arguing and saying, no, I'm not going to comply with this, is burgeoning to the surface.
Yep, I am glad to see them fighting it. How it's going to go, only time will tell, and that may be years before this thing snakes its way through the slow federal courts. But we got more coming up, including the comments from Gensler about why it is we don't need any of these cryptocurrencies. We've got the dollar! And I know you had that story, too, so we'll get to it coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has officially launched his campaign for president in New Hampshire, telling the crowd that character matters more now than ever.
We can't dismiss the question of character anymore, everybody. If we do, we get what we deserve.
Christie is joining a crowded Republican field, and tomorrow, former Vice President Mike Pence is expected to announce his campaign. Multiple people were shot and injured at a high school graduation ceremony that was being held on Virginia Commonwealth University's Monroe Park campus tonight. Reports indicate at least four victims. Witnesses say the shooting happened as Huguenot High School's graduation ceremonies were ending. Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff for Donald Trump, has testified to a federal grand jury. The testimony is part of the ongoing investigation being conducted by special counsel Jack Smith into the actions of the former president. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. All you gotta do is dial in at 603-283-6160. And joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
How are you?
And Mark.
And Mark is here with us as well from a remote location in Florida. But also, a different Mark, I want to let you know about Mark Warden and the crew over at Porcupine Real Estate. We've talked a lot about the migration of liberty-minded people coming up here to New Hampshire. And if you're thinking about joining it, then great. That's fantastic. If you love liberty, if you're an actual libertarian, a voluntarist, a liberty-loving anarchist, you should be here. This is the libertarian homeland, as Jeremy Kaufman from Library has put it. But you got to find a home if you're going to be in the homeland. So yep. Porcupine Real Estate can help you with that. Just go to move.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up for their upcoming webinars on various different topics, everything from gun freedom to medical freedom, political freedom victories, best practices for moving to the free state, and finding housing. They're going to cover those things. And some of those things they've already covered. You can go and look at their past webinars by going to their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate. You can watch them there. But it's better to attend an upcoming one so you can ask your own questions and get help directly from the experts on moving to New Hampshire as a liberty-minded activist or somebody that just loves freedom. Go to move.freetalklive.com. That's our web URL, but it takes you to the Porcupine Real Estate site on the sign-up page. And once again, it's free to attend these webinars, and they're very, very informative. So once again, that's move.freetalklive.com. Let's go to somebody who's here in New Hampshire. He's Dave Ridley, and we'll continue the discussion about the SEC here in moments. Ridley from RidleyReport.com. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, something
something happened back around January, I guess around November, that just kind of passed me by, and I don't know. Do you guys know much about the death of Sharon Clark? I think she was a New Hampshire Liberty activist or a Free Stater.
Oh, is this the young woman?
I believe she was 33, according to legacy.org.
Yeah. I heard something about her. She had moved up to Grafton or something like that, right? And then some. I don't know much else.
Legacy.com, I mean.
Yeah, usually when people move to Grafton, they kind of disappear. And so I don't know.
Why is that?
It's just because it's way out in the middle of the woods, and it just seems to be the kind of place where people go to not be seen. You know?
Fair enough.
But I don't know. Is that where she was living?
Legacy.com says, quote, Clark Sharon Ann, 33, late of Grafton NH, was found deceased in her home on November 20th, 2022, unquote. There really isn't a lot of other useful information that I see in that post.
Why do you ask about it?
Well, I think to me it is or at least should be a big deal whenever a Free Stater dies. There aren't that many of us. Mm-hmm. The post doesn't say much. There is another post the town of Grafton had something up about her on January 4th of 2022, I guess about 10 months before she died. It indicated that she was trying to build a tiny house or get permission to build a tiny house.
Right.
And someone was trying to stop her.
Oh, man. Yeah, somebody said something about a Sharon recently in a chat room. I'm sorry, and then they linked to her or whatever, and I apologize. I just don't know much about her, you know.
Jeez, I guess this is the second suspicious death in Grafton surrounding sort of zoning and building disputes, right?
Right.
There was an activist, John Connelly, who
John Connell. Yeah.
Thank you. Who was, you know, very early on and like a brother to many of us.
He was the founder of the Peaceful Assembly Church in Grafton, which had an actual church building that caught fire while he was in it. And he perished in presumably due to smoke inhalation, but it's not, you know, I don't know what the autopsy ended up showing in that case. Very, very sad.
Awful.
Very, very sad case.
It was also secretive. They wouldn't tell us what the autopsy said.
He was also one of the inspirations for the Shire Free Church, the Peaceful Assembly Church. And his, you know, message of forgiveness. He was a real advocate for forgiveness and really went a long way, I think, to inspire a lot of people. So, yeah, I know a lot about John and his story, but not so much about this young woman. Obviously very, very young, in her early 30s, to just be found dead in her home. You have to wonder what went on there.
Legacy.com also has a picture of her. There were also at least two other deaths of Free Staters in Grafton since 2004. They were kind of old age deaths, Bob Hull and Lloyd Danforth. Hull was not that old though, and I would have expected to still be talking to him 10 years from now. So it is kind of disturbing, you know. People like to say that Grafton is not a good, doesn't speak well for us as liberty activists, and there have been other incidents, and it's just, I lived there for about 6 months. I liked it. Seemed okay, but it seems like there's like a curse on the place or something. It's kind of big love.
I mean, people die, and the more Free Staters that, you know, come here, the more often they're going to die.
Yeah.
So it's just expected.
Yeah, partly just an indication of the large number of Free Staters that are there. I remember one guy,
he had a rock fall on him. He was working in his backyard or whatever. There was like a big boulder or something that he was working underneath, and it shifted or something, and he got crushed to death. And then there was another guy in Winchester that I think he had a heart attack or something while he was driving a fairly large truck and just went off the road and crashed the truck and perished because of that. So, yeah, I mean, there's a long list, sadly, of people who have died over the years, and then we've had thousands of people move. So, you know, some small percentage of them are going to go in an unfortunate manner, sadly.
My best guess is there are about 60 probably Free Staters that live in Grafton, which is a town of roughly 1,200. We ran some statistics, you know, maybe 7 years ago. I just put out a request saying, hey, someone look into this. Do you think we're dying at an unusual rate, or our young Free Staters are dying quicker than they should be? Is there something conspiracy going on here? But the statistics that someone else ran indicated that we do have a pretty normal death rate for the number of people that we have. So
you estimate 60 free staters in Grafton? You said that's 1,200?
I would guess so. Yeah, it was about 40 last time I really counted, and that was probably 5 or 6.
We don't have that many.
Yeah, we don't even have that many here.
Like 20 times that size.
Well, they don't all show themselves, you know. They don't come out to different events or whatever. I did find somebody reporting the death.
Well, I think that Grafton is unequivocally has more free staters than Keene. I mean, Keene has lost many free staters over throughout the year.
Well, Grafton lost a bunch, too, because they just went there and disappeared. But Sharon Clark, according to David Freeman, who posted about this, she lived off the grid, apparently, without electricity. And it is believed, he said, that carbon monoxide poisoning was what ended her life. So it's possible.
Gotta get a carbon monoxide. That costs $5, people.
Yeah, it's possible she didn't have a detector or something like that and went peacefully, if that was the case. And then, of course, there's also Greg Serby, who was found in a ditch, if I recall correctly, in, I don't know if it was Nashua, but somewhere in that area. He was long an attendee of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, well-known activist. I believe he was a Free Stater. I don't think he was a native. And he is probably the most mysterious death of all of them, because no one's really sure how he ended up where he ended up. Like, there's never been a real good explanation for that, and he was...
I mean, it's never good if someone's, like, found in a ditch, right?
Yeah, he was not known to be into any kind of, like, you know, illegal culture or, you know, dealing drugs or something like that. So that's always been a mystery. Did you ever hear anything about that one, Ridley?
Well, the thing that I know about that one, which was kind of, I guess, something I knew that other people didn't know, was I knew him fairly well back in the 2010 era, and I think in 2008 roughly he took me aside I was at a Murphy's Tap Room, and I've called in about this before and posted about it, but we were at a Tap Room Tuesday meeting, I think, and in roughly 2008 he took me aside and he said, listen, I have been ordered to attend an FBI interview or lose my security clearance. He works somewhere with a security clearance.
Hmm.
And I've been ordered not to tell anyone about it, but I'm telling you in case anything happens to me.
Okay.
So if anything ever happens to me, you go public with the fact that I was questioned by the FBI.
How long was this before he turned up dead?
Well, many years. Okay. It was probably it could have been about 12 or 13 years before. But anyway, Then he took me aside, a few weeks later and said, okay, I had the interview, here's how it went. And so anyway, I just, in 2021, when he died, I went ahead and just wrote down everything that I remembered from these conversations. But, I couldn't remember whether or not I had maybe interviewed him on camera about it, just to keep the thing lying around in case anything happened to him. But I don't think I did. I went back through my archives, I never could find such an interview, so I must not have conducted one. It's so long ago, but I don't remember conducting one, and my archives indicate that I didn't. I just haven't happened to go on memory. But if you go to forum.shiresociety.com, then you can find the post that where I wrote down everything I could think of in 2021 after I heard about his death.
Well, if this is one reason why that we need to keep recruiting people to move to New Hampshire, and the fact is we're going to lose some people over time, and as we've talked about, a lot of people in the United States are not replacing themselves. There's I think the average family is having like 1.7 or 1.8 kids.
I'm not bringing any children to the Free State Project.
Me neither. So we definitely need to keep recruiting people who have the liberty mindset to come here and get active. So Ridley, anything else you want to share tonight?
Well, just to be clear with Greg, I do not have any suspicions about the FBI on this. I do not think that their conversation with him was linked to his death. It was so many years in between. Mm-hmm. I was just going through by rote what he asked me to do if he ever died.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Ridley, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Ricky's on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Mark, Sister Aria.
What's on your mind?
Well, this past Saturday, you posed the question to me, if it were to be arranged, would I go on a date with Sarah from New Mexico? And at the time, I said, no, I don't know. But I gave it some thought,
Okay.
I gave it some thought.
What was your answer at the time? Because I didn't hear that.
He said no.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I've given it some thought, and the answer is yes, and I want to say why.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, I heard Sarah's call from the very beginning. I mean, I know plenty about Sarah, you know? And, you know, well, I'm thinking
I didn't listen Saturday, so how did this come up?
I don't remember.
Did Sarah announce that she's newly single?
Question. That's all, are you?
And I know, but why?
I don't remember. I think
probably
they were
going back to 2018.
I think he brought her up or something. It was somehow she got brought up.
Oh, God. 2017, he was saying that he was trying to kind of hook us up. I remember on Skype, and that's how we ended up talking together.
Do you think you could save her? Do you think that if you dated, you could, like, change her from being a communist?
Well, you know, I think I'd have a good impact on her. And, you know, you got the Confederate.
So to speak.
I understand her. You know, I'm not going to try to change her, but I'll give her some ideas. And here's what I'm thinking, you know. I mean, I know she loves the buses. So I could spray.
You could go on a bus ride together. You could go on a bus ride with her.
Well, no, I can't have the buses here. I'm banned for life. Now, if I may continue.
Just go down to
New Mexico. I could with a little conversation, some good food, we bum around. Pennsylvania is known for their friendliness, so I think that'll be good for her. Plus, she'll be with me, and I'm a gentleman with honor. I mean, if she's not cool with my studio apartment, I'll spring for her.
Yeah, she's in a townhouse. That's kind of a downgrade for her, because right now she's in a townhouse, Ricky, so I don't know.
Well, all I need is, I don't give a crap. I'll just get a hotel room, you know? I got the money. She's a lifeguard, SSI, she ain't got nothing, you know? So that's fine, but here's what I'm thinking.
I think you've given this way more thought than Ian ever anticipated when he asked the question.
I want to know how many people Ian has successfully managed to matchmake for. How many couples exist right now that Ian put together?
There actually was somebody who came up to me, I think it was at Porkfest, or no, it might have been Liberty Forum, who like thanked me for connecting somehow this person with their wife and that they listened to Free Talk Live. I don't even remember how it happened, but they basically thanked me for like having a kid together or something. And it was kind of weird, but I was like, okay, cool.
Here's the only hitch, Ian. Because I'm banned for life, I'd be like picking her up at the bus terminal on a cab, because I use cabs. I don't know how she'd feel about that.
Yeah, just get a nice cab or something, a limo.
Yeah, hopefully she's cool with that. And everything would be on Ricky from the Commonwealth. It'd be a life vacation. And there's no better place for her to visit, because Pennsylvania is known for their friendliness.
It's too bad she's not on hold right now. I mean,
it sounds like Ricky wants this, right?
It does sound like he's really put some thought into this.
I've gone out with all kinds of different girls in my life, and I think it'll be good for Sarah. You know?
Well, I'll ask her, Ricky, for you when she... when she calls in tonight, we'll find out what she says about it, because she does have a...
Well, here's one thing I'll tell you. Just so she... Well, forget that. If she's not comfortable, I can get us a nice hotel room, you know? That's cool. But one thing I'll tell
Isn't
you...
Isn't that a little presumptuous? I mean...
A bit, yeah.
That you're presuming...
We're all adults here, and let's be serious.
It would have two beds in it. I'm a gentleman.
There you go. All right.
Now, here's the thing, though. One thing I'll tell you what I look like, just so she knows. And I've been told this... Recently, I've been told that I look like, in the face, I look like early Neil Diamond. When I'm clean shaven like I am now.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you have a beard, like long hair?
I had a Van Dyke back then. I had my club masters on in that picture from Skype, you know.
What are you weighing in at these days? What's your height and weight?
Oh, well, I need to lose a couple pounds. I should be 185. I'm like 222. I got to lose. I'll have weight loss by then, you know, because I'm working on that. I mean, I lost some height because I got curvature of the spine, unfortunately.
Ooh, okay.
So now I'm down to 5'8" from 5'10". I'm a little disappointed.
Okay. All right. What are you doing to do how are you going to lose the weight? Are you working out? What are you doing?
Just cutting down, and I'm going to be toning up and working out. I remember when
cutting
I was
down. Jail, well, cutting down on what?
I was like a monster. I was doing 500 push-ups, sit-ups.
What are you cutting down on? Are you cutting down on alcohol, sweets?
No, just like on carbs and things like that, my snacks. And
this must be crazy here, Ian.
I lost some already. You know? And I'm going to look good. I mean, you know, and I mean, I think it'll be really a good experience for her. And
are you willing to buy her plane tickets so she can fly up to see you?
Well, I was going to just give her the Greyhound.
Okay, there you go. That's an option. There you go. All right, it's romantic.
She does like the bus.
She does. That's what he's
going to be on Ricky from the Commonwealth.
He knows. He knows his target. All right, Ricky, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. We'll let her know, and we'll see what she says, okay?
Yeah, hopefully, like I said, you know, hopefully she doesn't, you know, freak out, because I know all about her, but she never listens to the damn show. She shouldn't.
That's true, yeah. She doesn't know you from Adam. That's a good point. Thanks for the call, Ricky. I appreciate it.
I was not prepared for any of that.
Let's continue here. We got this guy, our gal, anonymous caller. You're on Free Talk.
Here's what I'm going to say is that you don't have any idea until you ask.
That's true. You got to ask. You know, you're never going to get a yes unless you ask the question. Anonymous, you're on the line here.
What's up? How you guys doing, Mark, Ian, Aria?
What's on your mind tonight?
Hey.
Yeah, it was Bobby from Florida.
Hey, dude.
I'm tired of Ricky the Commonwealth. He's no going on, but Aria, he knows that Sarah is mine. I don't know why he's creeping up on my stuff and coming into my territory when I've been trying to talk to Sarah, I don't know, for 6 or 7 years, and now he's stepping up, coming to me. He knows that's mine.
Because if it's been 6 or 7 years, it sounds like somebody else ought to take a shot.
I mean, this is not fair. Why can't I get the hookup? You guys hooking up for Ricky. I'm cooler than Ricky. I like Aria. I don't dead name Aria. And then he gets all the love, guys. I mean, the show's kicking tonight. Show is kicking tonight. But, you know, what about the hookup with Sarah? What about me, guys?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, it's too bad that Sarah doesn't have an email address. Otherwise, she could just have all kinds of potential male suitors in her inbox. But she doesn't even know how to work an email.
I wish she would have an OnlyFans or something like that. I mean, I'd be right on it. You know?
Thanks.
Talking about free space.
$5, Ian will have an OnlyFans for you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I've listened to all the drama. I know all the stuff. I can't stand that Matrix chat room. Everybody in there is a troll. They hate on everybody.
Yeah,
Bonnie's trying in there and trying to talk, and then everybody's ganging up on her. And then if you talk to anybody else, it's just a troll fest in that Matrix.
It is. It always has been. That's always been true. Pre Matrix, it was still a troll fest in the Discord. Pre Discord, it was a troll fest in the IRC room. Okay, so as long as we've had a chat room, it's been a troll zone. That's just
the
reality.
The Discord was better, though. The Discord, you guys got to admit, was better.
No.
Way better than that Matrix.
Not really.
I enjoyed it. I liked it. I thought it was a lot funner. But with all that said, you know, I love the show.
The Matrix is better because with the Matrix, you can create your own room. And so if you go to chat.freetalklive.com, well, I mean, that's an important thing. If you go to chat.freetalklive.com, hold on, Bobby. If you go to chat.freetalklive.com, there's step-by-step instructions there as to how to get on the server. You do have to, you know, jump through a few hoops. You got to sign up for an account and all that. But it is better because if you are sick and tired of the on-air now chat, then just go roll up your own chat room. And then you're the administrator of that chat room, and it doesn't matter what trolls come in there. If you don't want that troll in there, you can just ban them out the chat room or whatever. Now, of course, they'd probably just get a new account and come back in if they really want to. But you could also make your chat room private if you wanted, and then only invite the people you want into the private room. And that would make it a lot easier to have control over who can come in. So if you want to make a public room, you can do that. If you want to make a private room, you can do that. If you want it encrypted, it can be encrypted, or it can be completely unencrypted and searchable. So you actually have total control over how that's done. On the Discord, we were the ones who had to set what the rooms were. It was all top down. And I think that's one of the most key differences between them. Is Discord slick? Yeah, they got some slick features. It's corporate. It's, you know, their audio chat's better than what they have on Matrix. It's got its perks. But ultimately, if they don't like you, if they get a hair up their butt, then they're going to shut you down. And that's what they did to our server. So I got, you know, and we knew that was going to probably happen at some point. So what else, Bobby?
Well, I do miss that Discord, but you know, I love this show, and you know I talked to you before, and now I'm going to keep calling, and I love listening. I miss nobody. He's been in for a couple weeks.
He's expected to come back in a couple of weeks. So he's supposed to be back in New Hampshire on the 14th. For listeners that don't know, his mother had a stroke. She's in her 90s. Oh. She had a stroke, and she did recover, as I understand it, from that. I have not heard any further bad news. So the last I heard was good news. And so, you know, he's spending some time with the folks out there, and then he's coming back this month. He wants to be back in time for Forkfest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So he'll be coming back to New Hampshire, going straight to Rogers Campground, and I expect we'll have him back on the air sometime toward the end of the month.
All right,
well,
of course,
that's great,
guys.
Because I really love Beer Talk Live on Saturday night after the Saturday night show at 10:30. Nobody will do a show with Captain Kickbutt and Mr. Mountaineer, and they're really good, especially nobody. I wish Chris could get in there, Mr. Penguin.
No, he doesn't have a beard.
I love that.
He'd have to use the strap on. In order to do that. Hey, thank you for the call, Bobby. I appreciate the comments and the compliments. Beer Talk Live, by the way, a lot of people are really liking that show.
That's good.
They got themselves T-shirts now, which you can buy on Amazon. Just search for Beer Talk Live. And stickers. Captain Kickass had stickers that he went out and had manufactured. He's going to have like a whole roll of those things at Pork Fest and Fork Fest. And he'll be giving those away to fans of the show. So if you're going to be there, definitely come see him. He's also going to premiere his new music tracks at Fork Fest, I believe the last night, Sunday night of Fork Fest, which is the 18th of June. He's going to have like a listening premiere party. I don't know where that's going to be. Maybe at the Free Talk Live tent, I think. So that's
pretty
cool. Oh, you know what? I think he did tell me where it was, but it might not have been. Anyway, if you're at Fork Fest, you'll probably find out where it is. Just hop into the chat rooms, and I believe people will be sharing what's going on in there. You can get connected to those rooms and such by going to forkfest.party. And if, you know, if you're frustrated with the Free State Project and the Porcupine Freedom Festival, there is the alternative, which is Fork Fest, and it's happening from the 15th through the 18th. We didn't really talk about it much last night. I don't think at all, really.
While we were
talking about the Porcupine Freedom Festival, we've been promoting both events because they are a great combination. If you're coming up to one or both, if you can stay for both, stay for both. But if you can't afford going to the Porcupine Freedom Festival because it is a sold out campground and the tickets are $100 or something like that for the week. Fork Fest, there is no ticket price. It is a decentralized alternative. Nobody is in charge of Fork Fest, so if there's something going on, no one. That's a good point. Yeah, nobody. If there's something going on there that you don't like, you just don't attend it.
Yep.
And
it's that simple.
There's nothing.
Here I try to play the game. I try not to play the game with Rich Paul's dumb pseudonym there, and I still end up having to do it. It's an ambiguation and a problem.
It's fun, Mark. Have fun with
it. It's fun to be confused.
Yes, that's why we play the Onion Radio news during our during our breaks on Free Talk Live stream. And that will be coming up, too, by the way, if you're listening on our live stream over at freetalklive.com, lrn.fm. We got more on the way with the radio show. We got one more hour to go here, and of course, plenty of time for you if you want to join us. 603-283-6160. That's coming up.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.